Blog Talk Radio.
This is number one champion sound. Yeah, Estelle, we about to get down. Who the hottest in the world right now? Just touched down in London town. Bet they give me a pound. Tell them put the money in my hand right now. Set up a motor, we need more seats. We just sold out all the floor seats.
Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday. Take me to New York, I'd love to see LA. I really want to come pick you up. Like the way he's speaking, his confidence is peaking. Don't like his baggy jeans, but I'ma like what's underneath it. And no, I ain't been to MIA. I heard the Cali never rains in New York, by the way. First, let's see the West End. I'll show you to my best friend. I'm liking this American boy, American boy.
Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday.
Look at this peacoat, tell me he's broke. Woo! And I know you ain't into all that. I heard your lyrics, I feel your spirit. But I still talk that cash, cause a lot of wags wanna hear it. And I'm feeling like Mike at his baddest. Like the picture they gladdest. And I know they love it, so they hit with all that rubbish.
Would you be my love?
Could you be mine?
Would you be mine?
Everyone, welcome to another edition of Hazel Runs Her Mouth, coming live from an unknown location deep in the heart of the ghetto of Milwaukee. You will find all sorts of interesting things going on behind me, from dogs barking, to gunshots, to the police department, to me complaining about the smell of weed blowing into my apartment, and if we're really lucky, we may have some good old-fashioned fighting outside. But we're starting here. It is Wednesday. It is June 30th, 2018. And all I can say is, wow, what an insane week we have had. For those of you who don't know, my parents have been in town from England. here to celebrate my son's graduation, and it was pretty much nonstop from the moment their flight touched down. We've been racing around, doing so many different things, going so many different places, and then we had the graduation, and first of all, we had the confetti throwing, then we had his graduation, then, oh my gosh, what else happened? Just everything. Just we met my mom's friends, who they met on a cruise. They came in by Harley to Milwaukee. Then from there, we met my friends and went shopping. And Sunday, we had the party. And then Monday, sadly, I had to say goodbye to him, which was, it was always a really, really tough thing for me. It absolutely breaks my heart because I never know when the next time I'm going to see him. And I know it's not, you know, it's not easy and cheap for them to be able to come every year, which would be totally amazing. But, you know, it was lovely spending time with them. And, yes, I had a good cry when they left. And I still have that feeling in my chest, you know, like a part of me is missing. And as much as I get to speak to my mom every day, that feeling just is there. It's, you know, there's a feeling right there, and it's right next to the spot that my babies, you know, hold as well, and, you know, their importance and everything. So we're basically, you know, going to talk about this evening is I had a conversation with somebody who I've been friends with for many, many years. I've known him since, oh my gosh, I want to say that around about 2007, so it's been like 11 years. I'm a very good friend of mine, highly intelligent man, works for a prestigious company and everything, and he's got himself up to me in a little bit of a pickle in regards to his dating life. Let's be honest, dating, you know, in the days of technology and everything, is a little bit more dicey than it was when I first started dating. You know, in order to find out, if someone was cheating on you or not, you had to follow them. Now you just hack into their social media accounts because you can guarantee it's on there. So basically, he started dating a woman, not a guy. Apologize. He started dating this woman while she was still married. It was an on and off thing, so more like friends with benefits type of deal. Since her divorce, they, you know, kind of stepped up the dating game and are together a lot more. But she cheats on him, and he has found out and has proof of all of this, and he's quite upset over it. She also spends a lot of money on him, including to the point of actually buying him a Harley motorbike. So that tells you the kind of money, you know, she's throwing around. And, you know, buys him luxury items and gifts and all of this type of thing. Yet he's concerned because she's seeing other men. Well, in my opinion, in regards to that, he has no business being able to say a thing because she was married when he started messing with her. You know, it wasn't like she was divorced or anything. She was having an affair with him. So why he thinks that she is going to change, you know, now for him is beyond me. It's, you know, it's one of those situations where, in my opinion, he started dating her apparently about 5 years ago on and off. And as I say, this whole, you're going to hear cars and motorbikes behind me. And this whole relationship is like totally out of control. I had a long chat with him this morning, both on the phone and online in regards to it. And he's, you know, been always one of these ones who's like, well, you don't break up a happy home. And, you know, if you're unhappy in a relationship, you get out, you don't cheat. But he was the one having the affair. And, you know, she apparently has been divorced for, a little over a year now, and is cheated on him every time he has spent time with his kids or comes back into Milwaukee to see his family. She's meeting up with guys who she's met online and everything. And, you know, it's kind of sad in a way because he is a decent guy. But to me, it's what I, my opinion, he is just using her to access her money. You know, he always joked, even from when I knew him, saying that he wanted to be a sugar baby, that he wanted to have somebody take care of him and spend money on him, that type of thing. And now that he's got it, he will put up with her every time he sees his kids sleeping around with different men. And he'll put up with her slapping him and hitting him, which he told me, which, you know, is a big no-no. And it just seems to me that it's, you know, how far do you go for, you know, either to have sex with somebody or to access money? I mean, there is no love there. Because when you truly, truly love someone, you know, the money is not an issue. You don't want them for their money. You don't do things for them to get something in return. You know, you don't, there's no conditions on it. You know, you may say to you, I love you on one condition, you know, and the condition is that you please give me a back rub, or can you please rub my feet, you know. Those things you expect in a relationship. But, you know, to me it sounds so much easier for him to, hold on, here we go. That's the music, the car's gone by. My whole windows vibrate for that. But going back to him, it seems to me that all his intent is to what he can personally gain from her. And here comes another one. And it seems to me like what he gains from her is high-cost items. You know, and it's true what they say in regards to sex, that a lot of times women need a reason, men just need a place. Because let's be honest, you know, there's a reason why men at times like to hit it from the back. Not to be crude or blunt, you don't have to have really any connection with, here we go again, don't really have to have any connection with that person. It's just sex. And, you know, with him in particular, you know, he was, I spoke with him this morning, he was worried about his Harley, and it's like, well, go get your Harley from her house. And, you know, he said, well, I have to do it when she's at work, and I have to be sneaky about it. And, like, tonight, he was, you know, all set to end the relationship, but tonight she contacted him saying, well, I'm going to sign you over my Monte Carlo, and we're going to Vegas in July. So now all of a sudden everything's okay, and everything's hunky-dory. And all this lot. And as I said to him, you know what, you've got to make a choice. You either be blunt and tell her that, you know, you don't want to be in a relationship where she's hitting you, where she's, you know, going batshit crazy. And from the sounds of things, she went really batshit crazy last night. That you don't want to be in a relationship like that. Or you have to take it for what it is. And that is, that she is using you for companionship and to have someone around, but you're always going to have the person on the side, always. And if that's, you know, what you, I told you, if that's what you want to deal with, then that's what you deal with. You're going to have to put up with her cheating, and you can't get upset over it because you're gaining from it by what she can buy you. And, you know, he's over there right now having dinner with her and, you know, probably going to work out how he's going to get the Monte Carlo back to his house and all of this type of stuff. And to me, it's really a shame that, you know, the relationship came down to it being that way. Because, as I say, he is a great guy and he could have, you know, had his pick really of any women just purely based on the fact of who he is, the fact he holds down a really good job. You know, he cares for his kids and everything. But we'll come back to more of that in a minute. We are going to play a quick song. And let me see if I can find a good one. We could play this because you know, this is a good one. Hold on. Yeah, no, we won't play that. We'll find something else. So yeah, I loaded up a bunch of songs today, so I'm going to put this one on, and we'll be back, and we'll carry on talking about this whole relationship type thing.
I need a gangster to love me better than all the
music dies out, we are back. Oh, so basically tonight's episode is like the whole thing of like relationships and everything. And, you know, there was one relationship that I was in a very long time ago. It was after Robert's dad. And it was one of those ones where you think that everything was, you know, it was going to be your next love affair. It was going to be the best thing that, you know, was going to happen to you. And it turns out that I was actually then the side piece. And that was a really hard thing to actually deal with. I had been with the guy for like 6 months, so it wasn't very long. And it had turned out that he was married. He was separated from his wife at the time. And I'd been to the house that he lived in, which turned out not to be his place. It actually turned out to be his brother's. So there were pictures of him there. There was pictures of his family, which, you know, in hindsight, you'd expect to have family members. And I kind of called him out on a couple of things. We had a mutual friend who we didn't actually realize was a mutual friend. And this was in the time of MySpace. And I went to this mutual friend's page because it was their birthday and saw his picture on there So I was like, oh, you know, I didn't know he was on MySpace, and clicked on his picture. And, you know, as you do, you scroll through and everything, and saw a picture of him and a woman, and I looked at the date, and it had only been like a week before. And he made the comment, my beautiful wife, can't live without her. So I contacted him about that and said, you know, what's going on? Why, you know, you told me you were separated. And he said, well, we started talking. And we're trying to work things out. He said, but I don't want to lose you as well. And I said to him, well, you know, you're going to have to make that choice as to who you want and everything. And he was like, I remember he started crying, saying, I choose you, I choose you, and I can't lose you and all this lot. So, you know, we carried on, and there was all this element of doubt in my mind. I just had this gut feeling that something still wasn't right. And then he started, you know, canceling some of our dates and canceling what we were going to be doing, or like the plans would change like literally last minute, and it would be, wouldn't be kind of like, okay, we've got to change the time. It would be, oh, we've got to completely change the location, and, you know, and then it was like, if we bump into any of my friends, just say that we're friends and everything, because I don't want people knowing about us just yet. So that's always, you know, kind of irritated me. And then one day, I was going through, actually, I think it was Walmart's online registry, their gift registry, because a family member of my son's was pregnant, and I was looking for their gift registry. And I came across, I knew her name but didn't know his name because she hadn't told us who she was dating when she got pregnant. And I found the guy I was seeing a registry for him. And this woman, turns out they're having a baby together. And it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I got hold of him. I said, you know, what the hell's going on? You promised me you were going to let me know if these things were happening. And, you know, it was like, well, I didn't want to upset you. It's like, well, now I'm more pissed off because you lied. I promised myself I would never, ever be that other woman, having been on that side of the fence where you have been cheated on and have been lied to and, you know, all of that type of thing. And that's what it turned out to be. Thankfully, this person actually ghosted on me, which basically means they disappeared for a long period of time. And when they started messaging me after that, it was, I just ignored them. You know, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to be sucked back into that, you know, that whole deal. You know, it doesn't really matter if he's single or what anymore. You know, he lied about a major thing, and all I'd ever asked for him was for him to be truthful so I could make that decision. You know, I didn't want to be the woman on the side. I didn't want to be the mistress. But I was never given that choice to make that decision. That was taken from me. And I know there are plenty of women out there who it doesn't bother them sleeping with a married man. It doesn't bother them at all. You know, as far as they're concerned, okay, I've got no ties to you. We'll just hook up when we can. And that's what it is. But there are women out there who like to be able to be in control of their own lives and make those types of choices. And when it's taken from you, it's extremely, extremely, you know, unfair. And I can honestly say, speaking as a woman, you can always tell when the person who is in your life, the man who is in your life, is starting to lose interest in you or starting to pull away because, you know, they go from one minute showering you with, you know, their love and affection. They want to get home to be with you. And, you know, they, in this day, they just like they want to text you and talk with you and instant message you and all that all the time. And then, you know, suddenly it tapers off and it's, you know, the excuses come as, I fell asleep early. Well, no, you didn't, because I saw you and it says right next to your name you were playing, you know, Words with Friends or pool or something. Or, you know, it goes on to, well, I got busy and I, you know, totally forgot, or I didn't have anything to talk about. And so you can generally tell when there's that distance, not just a comfortable silence. There's a difference between a comfortable silence because, you know, I could sit in a room with somebody who I really care about and who I love and have that comfortable silence, you know, where you're just sitting there, you're doing your own thing, but that person's there, their presence is all that you need. But then there are times where it changes, where you can feel the, you know, you can feel the change in how things are going. You can feel the connection is slipping away, that, you know, the things that you may have spoken about a year ago and the attention that that person wanted from you a year ago is just slowly easing away. And, you know, they're taking you for granted or only ever, you know, showing their affection and love for you when they want something from you. And I'm not just on about sex. I'm on about if they want, I don't know, money or, you know, to borrow your car or, you know, something like that. That's the time when it's all of a sudden the loving comes back and then they disappear again. And that's a hard thing. I think that's a really hard thing, you know, nowadays to deal with because we have got so used to being able to contact the person that we want by instant messenger, by text message. And I know when I was dating when I was younger and when I started dating again after the whole incident with Robert's dad, you know, not everybody could afford to have the internet at their house and didn't have the internet on their phone. You know, we were still on flip phones, let's be perfectly honest. When I started dating again after Robert's dad's incident, we were on flip phones, okay? If you were able to get the internet on your phone, God bless you. But a lot of times in order to get the internet, you had to go to the library, you had to go to the FedEx store and all that lot. So you still, you know, wouldn't get text messages and that lot all the time. I know when I first started dating AJ, we would text via phone, but you only had like 300 texts a month. So the texts were limited to, when am I seeing you next? Okay, I'll see you Thursday. Okay, I'll be over after work. All right, love you, bye. That was a text. That was our texting, you know. Or he would go to FedEx or the library and we would talk that way. You know, it was quick and, you know, it wasn't long drawn out messages like there are now. And the anticipation and everything was, but it's one of those things where, I don't know, I kind of miss, you know, I miss the morning text saying, hey, beautiful, how are you? You know, I miss the goodnight texts that say, I love you. You know, I'll see you soon, those type of things. You know, all of those things all add up and, you know, it just makes you wonder at times. So I got requested to play this song, and I'm going to send this song out to somebody very special. They know who they are.
Maybe this decision was a mistake. You probably don't care what I have to say, but it's been heavy on my mind for months now. Guess I'm trying to clear some mental space. I would love to talk to you in person, but I understand why that can't be. I'll leave you alone for good, I promise. You answer this one question for me. I just wonder, do you ever?
And we are back. So while I was on that little break, I was just setting up my guest for next week. And my guest for next week is a dear, dear friend of mine. She is absolutely an amazing woman. Her name is Sarah. She runs a program similar to Maddie's Memory, but it's called King's Baskets of Hope. She actually does a lot for the Down syndrome community, for parents, providing information, raising money, and spreading awareness. Her little boy, King, who sadly was stillborn like Matthew, was diagnosed while she was pregnant with Down syndrome. So this is a passion of hers, is to make people aware. And she's actually sent to me once before for one of my clients whose child was born with Down syndrome, beautiful gift basket, which she takes donations for. And she sends them out to as many families as she can and reaches out to as many people as she can. She works tirelessly, and she is such an amazing woman, such a huge inspiration to me, someone who I greatly admire. So she'll be on my show next week to talk about what she does and to overcome some of her fears. I was speaking with her during the song playing, and she said, well, I really want to do Facebook Live, she said, but I'm kind of scared of it, so this would be perfect. I said, Justin, the good thing with radio is nobody has to see you. You could be sat at home with your hair messy and your PJs with a face mask on. Nobody has to see that, you know. So she'll be my guest next week. We've done a lot of collaborations together and worked, you know, extremely close together on many things. We've helped each other out. So she's somebody who, you know, I do greatly admire and is so glad and so grateful to have in my life. She's a wonderful woman, and I admire her deeply. So going back on to, you know, some of the things that we were just talking about before the break, about, you know, in regards to, like, relationships and the such like, is I think at the end of the day, you have to work out really what you want for you and what's best for you and the person you're with. You know, it's one of those things that's really, really hard. And I've seen so many friends who just settled with being with someone just because they have a kid with the person. And it happens a lot more than you know, you actually realize that, you know, they're so concerned that they won't see their child anymore, or, you know, they're going to lose everything in their life if they go and embark on finding the happiness that they really want. I was one of those people. I felt that way for, you know, that I thought I would lose everything. And then my son's dad got arrested, and, you know, I was basically, there was my freedom. And you don't lose it. Well, yeah, I'll say, okay, I have to correct that. You can lose everything. I have lost everything, and I've, you know, bounced back each time. But what I'm saying is that you don't lose the love of your child. Me and my son have butted heads so many times, mainly because we've got the same damn personality. Anybody who knows me and knows my son know that, you know, my son is the male equivalent of me with a teenage attitude. And the pair of us, when we butt heads, it's hard. But we equally, you know, we have the same passion when it comes to everything that we, you know, pursue and what we do. And my greatest fear was, for many times, was Robert's dad was always telling me that, you know, if I left him, then I would never get my son. And, you know, I would lose my home and nobody would ever want me and nobody would ever need me and I'd have nowhere to go. And the fact of that is that he did that to control me. And I think a lot of men and women do the same thing to control the person that they are with. Now, I know I'm not no prize, you know, to anybody. I know I have my faults and everything. But the one thing I never do is tell somebody that they can't do better than me. Of course, you know, you go out and look, I'm sure you can find better elsewhere. But I would never want anybody to stay with me just purely for the sake of they live in fear that they're going to lose their child. If Matthew had lived and everything, I wouldn't have, and AJ wanted to leave, I wouldn't have, you know, said to him, well, you leave, you never get to see your kid again.
You know, that's his child. You don't do that. You know, I would never say to him, well, if you leave, you know, you're going to be homeless. You're not going to have this. You're not going to have that. You know, at the end of the day, you can still love someone, but you may not be, you know, in love with them in the sense of wanting to stay. But people just seem to over and over again when they don't appear to be happy. They don't appear to be getting what they want from that person. Or they stay because money is attached to that person. You know, the money keeps them there. They're worried that if they leave, then the money stops. And that is really a sad, sad, you know, way to live your life. If you're with somebody, be with them 100% because you love that person. Don't stay out of fear of losing everything or of losing your child, you know, and especially if you're saying that you love somebody else. You know, it's really hard, you know, to actually split your love between people. And it's not fair on either person if you do that. But, you know, I guess that's how some people choose to live. You know, they choose to live their lives that way. And it's very hurtful in a way because, you know, you find yourself in certain situations where, you know, you see them all lovey and dovey with that other person and, you know, all huddling up on them and playing a happy family is when you, as a friend or as a family member, you know that's not the case. That's just fake, you know, and it's a really terrible thing for somebody to actually go through, especially when, you know, they start accusing other people of different things to cover up their own insecurities and their own misgivings. You know, you can't go around yelling at somebody, you gave me an STD, you gave me an STD, when it's actually, you know, everybody else has come up clean and you're the dirty one. You know, that should tell you who gave you the STD, and that was you. And now you cannot get STDs off of a fucking toilet seat. Excuse my language. That is, you know, the only STD, tell a lie, the only STD you can get off a toilet seat is crabs. Everything else, no, you got to be having sex, honey, for that one. But anywho, before I start really getting into a rant and rave, I think we might actually have to play a song and, you know, get me to another point. But this song is actually very appropriate for me, and I did love it when it came out. It was, you know, so perfect, and it's called Sorry Not Sorry, and it's great. So tune in, and I'll be back.
Now I'm out here looking like revenge, feeling like a 10, the best I ever been. And yeah, I know how bad it might hurt to see me like this, but it gets worse. Now you're out here looking like regret, ain't too proud to beg, second chance you'll never get. And yeah, I know how bad it might hurt to see me like this, but it gets worse. Now payback is a bad bitch, and baby, I'm the baddest. You fucking with a savage. Can't have this, can't have this. And it'd be nice for me to take it easy on ya, but nah. Baby, I'm sorry.
A bitter pill, and yeah, I know you thought you had bigger bills.
15 minutes of the show, and I think we're going pretty good. We've discussed some serious topics here. We've discussed love and relationships. However, I will want to say this. The best relationship you can get yourself is between you and your dog. I don't care who you are, you have to get yourself a dog. I am blessed to the fact that I have three of the little turds, and I'll call them little turds because there are times when they are little turds. Libby, we have had for 9 years. She was on an ad on Craigslist, and the woman who had her had gotten her in a divorce and wanted to get rid of her afterwards. So I remember AJ, you know, he drove a good hour to go pick her up and then came back, and we gave her to Robert. And I still remember Robert's little face went, "She's for me?" And his eyes just lit up. And even to this day, whenever Robert's home, Libby's right by his side. Right by his side. That's, you know, they belong to each other. They really do. Then we have Mindy. And Mindy is actually Libby's daughter. And we used to have a pug called Bonix, who was this ugly little thing, but so adorable at the same time. And sadly, we had to find a home for him because he started attacking the puppies. But he's happy. He's had other kids. He lives on a farm. He's good. The people who've got him were pug fans and fell in love with him from day one. So, you know, he's happy. And anyway, he got my little girl knocked up. I was so angry at him. I'm telling you. Anyway. The day that Mindy was born, Libby had been in labor all day and everything, and she gave birth to her first puppy, which was a little white boy that we named Patrick, and I really wish we had kept him as well. Patrick was a fat little, podgy little thing, and oh, he was so adorable. But poor Mindy came out butt first and got stuck. So Robert held Libby up in the air, and I pulled Mindy out. And Mindy wasn't breathing very well, and we got, you know, her breathing and everything. And Mindy spent most of her life cuddled up on my chest. She was sat on my boobs from, like, day one. And even now, if I pat my chest, she'll come running over. I wonder if I can get to it. Mindy, come here. Here she comes. Come here. Hi, baby girl. And there she is, right on my chest, right away. Hi, baby girl. But this has always been her spot. Hi, Mama. And I got Mama coming over now. Anyway, if you can still hear me, I'm being suffocated by dogs. Dear, it was around January time. I was on my way to the movies. And my best friend Maggie, her daughter, put a post up saying, can anybody take this little dog? He's been abandoned by me. And... you know, we don't know what to do, but we need to find him a home ASAP. So I saw this picture of this little chihuahua, and I remember calling up AJ and saying,
Can we get another dog?
Just like that, and that is no joke. That is my begging voice. It works when it came to this dog. And a couple of days later, he came to us, and he was very, very scared, and he had been abused, and he didn't like being touched or cuddled. And it was funny because that first night, he wouldn't get out of my arms. He stayed cuddled up with me, and I was just whispering to him and cuddling him and everything. And then that night, we took him into the bedroom because the dogs sleep with us on the bed. We took him into the bedroom, and he right away, he snuggled up to AJ. Now, bear in mind, AJ, when you sleep in a bed with him, it's like sleeping next to a freaking hot water bottle. And it was January, so I'm pretty sure that Giannis was caught. And Giannis's name was Topper. There's no way that poor little boy was going to be called Topper for the rest of his life. But whichever way you look at it, we, you know, changed his name and everything, and he became part of our family and a much-loved member of the family, I should say. He is very protective. He, you know, he doesn't like either of us touching or anybody coming near me. He will bark and go for him. If you come in the house, he'll bark at you, and if you leave, he'll try and bite your ankles and get hold of your pants because he doesn't want you to leave. But he is so totally adorable. I love him to pieces. He is my little man. And a lot of times people will hear me refer to him as a crabby old bastard because that's basically what he is. He is really crabby. But he is totally adorable. And I can honestly say that through some of our lowest points, well, my lowest points, having the dogs around, has been such a blessing and such a, you know, a wonderful, wonderful, like, therapy to me because they'll just cuddle you. They give you unconditional love. They just, you know, they love you to pieces. I mean, as I say, I could get Mindy on me in a heartbeat. If I say beautiful mama, my Libby will look at me and want to come near me. And it's that kind of love that you get from your dogs that, I don't know, you just can't deny. So I'm going to play a quick song before, you know, we have 10 minutes left of the show. I'm going to play this quick song, which is 5 minutes long, and then we'll be back for the final 5 minutes and a few announcements of upcoming shows.
You will remember me, remember me. My sins are in, just one mistake.
And I am back. So we have like 5 minutes left. So I'm just going to give you a quick rundown. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern is none other than Mr. Artrell Jones with the Artrell Jones Show. And you never know, yours truly may make an appearance in Gatecrash's radio show. Friday is WFSO's Fan View. That is 6 p.m. Central on 7 p.m. Eastern time. So please tune in and listen. We do have a number that you can call in. I keep forgetting to hand out, but my bad. I don't want anyone interrupting my time. I'm taking over my limelight because I'm so sparkly. There's a couple of things I would love for everybody to do. If you are listening to this show and you haven't already, log on to Facebook and find Maddie's Memory. That is my page in memory of my son. Head over there, hit like, help us, you know, make awareness and change the world in regards to child loss and all that good stuff. The other page you need to go over to is over to one called Art from the Heart. One of my closest friends, Mike, myself and him actually run the page together. He does all the artwork that you saw on there. And if you followed my son's graduation and everything, you would have seen Dragon Ball Z played a huge, huge part of it. And I was blessed in the fact that Mike did that despite me and him having some arguments over payment of the certain items. But he did that for me, which everybody loved. Everybody was so impressed. He's also done a couple of baby loss artwork for me, including the logo for Maddie's Memory. He did an angel wings one. And also he has done my Captain Britain and True Brit, which is Superman from a different universe, which I still have to get framed. So please head over to Art from the Heart and do that as well. I'm hoping I can collaborate with him for a big giveaway for Maddie's 6th birthday, which is coming up in July. And that should be, you know, a pretty good one. You know, hopefully I've got to talk to him about that and convince him in only ways I know how. Which basically involves me, please, I beg you. I'm good at begging when I want to. So that's basically that. So just another quick reminder, tomorrow's the Artrell Jones Show. It is at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And Friday is WFSL's Fan View from 6 p.m. Central to 7 p.m. Eastern time. With that, I am now going to head out and say goodbye to all of you lovely, lovely people. There is a cup of tea with my name on it, a shower with hot scalding water for me to warm up the depths of my cold, dark soul. And then there will be bed and movies for this girl because, damn it, she's tired. So we're going to play out with a song and we'll have a bit of Bruno Mars. And I will catch you all next week, same time, same place. Love you all and smooches.
Hey, hey, hey. I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited. So go on and get to clapping. Go pop a phone, pan, pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a pan. Drop it for me. I rent a beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Lobster tail for dinner. Julio served that scampi. You got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac.
Girl, let's put some miles on it.
Anything you want.
Just to put a smile on it.
You deserve it, baby. You deserve it all. And I'm gonna give it to you.
Cool jewelry shining so bright. Strawberry champagne all night. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Sex by the fire at night. Silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like.
I'm talking trips to Puerto Rico. Say the word and we go. You can be my flica. Girl, I'll be a flico, mama. A promise that I can't keep. I promise that your smile ain't gonna never leave. Shopping sprees in Paris. Everything 24 carats. Take a look in that mirror. Now tell me who's the fairest. Is it you?
Is it me?
Say it's us. And I'll agree, baby. Jump in the Cadillac.
Girl, let's put some miles on it.
Anything you want.
Just to put a
for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Thanks, my God.